All right. Time to start using finger puppets and crayons to explain why self-defense is a good thing. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I think it has been surprising to a lot of people in Washington, in the administration at least, that this is taking longer than they thought, despite the sanctions, despite the pressure. With the help of Russia and other outside forces, Maduro is hanging on.
Not only hanging on, but he appears to still control the military. You have to understand, in Venezuela, gun ownership is not something that is open to everybody. So if the military have the guns, they have the power. And as long as Nicolas Maduro controls the military, he controls the country.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Don't you just love it? Don't you just love it when MSNBC, who collectively have the brain power of Iraq, actually come to the conclusion on air that the Second Amendment is a must, that the Second Amendment is what restores our liberty. Don't you just love it? Oh, that was a great moment. Thank you, Andrea Mitchell, who I can't stand, and Kerry Sanders, another total joke on MSNBC, for actually going to bat for the Second Amendment. You never hear that. Let me play his comment just one more time. This was so good. I just had to play it again. Here you go.
Military, you have to understand, in Venezuela, gun ownership is not something that is open to everybody. So if the military have the guns, they have the power. And as long as Nicolas Maduro controls the military, he controls the country.
Ah, oh, love it. Lesson learned, I hope. I hope. There's a couple of things, actually, before I get to local stuff. There's two narratives that I swear it's actually out of the Trump playbook. You just let them do their thing and they will showcase, at some point they will actually tell you what's actually going on. So I love that MSNBC actually proved the case for the Second Amendment, as they have been so vile in their attempt to persuade against the Second Amendment since their inception. But the other one is this, and I don't know if you're getting the same thing in the news or listening to that same statement they keep using: hemisphere safety. When it comes to Venezuela, and I'll be talking about Venezuela, Tucker Carlson's interview, the horrid headline, the headline that was not true. I want to talk about some of these things in the last hour with Susan. But think about this for a second. Think about this. Now it is hemisphere safety. Why? Because people are going to be fleeing Venezuela and coming here. Did they or did they not just build the case for the wall? Did they or did they not just say, without saying it, gee, a wall would be really important about now if that is the big reason that we have to go intervene? So the reason that they're using to intervene actually is the reason for the wall, and they shouldn't be intervening. So it is comical to hear these the hypocritical statements. You know, it's kind of been a theme, right? And talking from Dr. Duke on Monday to today, it just seems like there's so much hypocrisy in the news, and they're not willing sometimes to point it out. They're willing for it to be said. They just don't want to point out the end conclusion, which I find kind of funny. So there you go. You're going to hear a lot of hemisphere safety now as the reason to intervene. And Tucker Carlson did a pretty good job actually asking and trying to pinpoint the reasons for our interest in Venezuela. And it's an interesting interview that I'll play for you. I'll play clips of that for you in the last hour. So a couple of guests coming up this week. We may have William Engdahl talking about China. I've hit on China, I swear, it seems like weekly, at least once a week, because the news is so interesting in popping up pieces with China and where China's going. So I want to talk about that as well. So William Engdahl will come on, and he's got some new interesting developments on some research he's been doing, and he usually goes pretty deep. So we'll talk to him on that. And also Evan Sayet. Evan Sayet is a fantastic author. He wrote the book Kindergarten of Eden. I don't know if you've read it yet, Kindergarten of Eden. It's how modern liberals think and why. And his conclusions are fascinating. You'll love this interview on Friday. And so he also wrote a book about taking you through all of the global environmental disasters of our time and how they never happened. So he actually did it. This was so comical. He did it in kind of like a kid book in illustrations. It's very, very funny. So he'll be coming on to talk about this. And truly, none of they haven't happened. It's hilarious, from killer bees all the way to global warming and how we were going to be toast in 2013. So it is really funny when you get it all together and you look at it and you think, oh, my gosh. These people have been touting these things again and again for so long, and sometimes we don't go in the Wayback Machine and remember all of the things that have been said. So he'll do a great job of that on Friday, I'm sure. I have Melissa in the next hour talking about forcing confessions from innocent people, and a host of things to talk about with Melissa as well. So we'll also cover Mueller Barr. Is this not the most interesting squabble? Anyway, the Mueller Barr thing, we'll get to that too. My friend Tom Woods, who we've had on the show, Tom, his meme that he put up he said, look, he goes, when Barr pressed Mueller on whether he thought Barr's memo to Congress was inaccurate, Mueller said he did not. So the whole Mueller objected to Barr's summary story is more of the usual, crapola. And so, he said, this is that came from Washington Post, and Tom Woods was putting that out on Twitter. I thought it was funny. So we'll get to that also in the third hour. A couple of things just to make note. I did mention on the national show yesterday evidence coming out that Lavoie Finicum's truck was fired upon. And I wanted to make sure. I think we were supposed to cover that like a week ago. And I just wanted to, again, say that all of those naysayers out there, all of those people that were just convinced, you know, through mainstream news and they were so anti this group, doing this in Oregon. As the evidence comes out, it's interesting how that's not a top headline, you know, where he was shot upon without a warrant, without cause. And it would be nice, wouldn't it? I know I live in a lovely world where I would assume that at some point some journalist out there wants to tell the truth, but you would think that it would land in local news too, don't you think? I would, and I would expect it to, and I don't know why it's not. And they sure gave the mainstream media so much coverage in their narrative to paint everyone as a violent protester and put them as a domestic terrorist, and they let Harry Reid come in on articles, and they just printed away when it came to it's like printing money. They just printed the articles, and then they won't go ahead and print the truth. Why? Maybe we ought to urge locals to at least print the truth locally. Maybe we could start there. Maybe that's a cause. I'm saying that on the heels of learning that there was a watermelon seed company. They canceled Cliven Bundy's visit. He was going to come visit and talk about growing watermelons, of all things, after threats from the Twitterati. They truly are the Twitterati. They really are. It's a mafioso, I swear. The Baker Creek Seed Company had canceled a visit because Bundy was going to come and talk about how to grow ancient crookneck watermelons in the desert climate. Well, they couldn't have that. So you know what they did? They went on to Twitter, and they started calling him a violent, violent man, that he was just this horrible, violent person, called him a sovereign citizen activist. It's interesting how they called him a domestic terrorist and white supremacist. He was going to go talk about how to grow watermelon seeds. That's how interested they are in just annihilating. So, of course, Baker Creek did say, well, yeah, he does speak up for sovereign citizenry, but this is just watermelon. They ended up canceling him. And I thought, how sad is that? And that's why the narrative needs to be changed. And that's why even local news maybe could spur a national story on the fact that the outcome after testing, no matter what it is, never comes to fruition in the news. Why is that? Why is that? Why are they not printing the truth? And when narratives come out and they all come out in the same way, with the same language and the same accusations, which is exactly what happened in that case, the very day AP and Reuters both came out with the same story on painting them as domestic terrorists and hadn't even interviewed them yet, hadn't even done anything yet. They just painted them that way. That's how the government wanted them painted. That's how the media wanted them painted. And I think it's so sad to me. I'm hoping that local journalists will pick up that and say, look, this narrative has gone on far too long. And if these people are able to do this kind of damage, first of all, I would have hoped Baker Creek Seed Company would not have canceled him and would have said no, because this is really truly a bigger story, because this can affect anyone going to speak anywhere on anything that's been labeled by the media under a certain context, right? So they could have taught the Twitterati a lesson and said, you Twitter complaints, you mob rule Twitter group are not going to tell us what to do. And I would have been really proud of Baker Seed Company had they just said yes to this. And isn't this kind of funny that it's over watermelon, for Pete's sakes? Watermelon growing in the desert. Yeah, I know. I shake my head, too. You almost can't believe it. A couple of things. I do want to talk about Larry Myers. Larry Myers leading the fight. There was a great article leading the fight about the hate crime bill. I'm so happy about that. Also, a bill that is out there that we could model locally, that we could actually model, and we're being urged to do so. So hat tip to Mark on that, and I'll talk about that. All gender bathrooms, they're saying, could all gender bathrooms now be the answer? There was never a problem. Can I just say it? We never had a problem with bathrooms. We don't need a solution. You don't have to go all gender. Every time I see a store that goes all gender, I walk out. You know why? Because I say, you know what? You have no backbone. You have no courage. You have no anything. I'm out because of the ridiculousness of the all gender bathroom. So it isn't a problem that needed to be solved. We actually do have two genders. And I'm all for each of us having our own restroom. Are you? So I'd love for you to weigh in on that and a host of other things. Huntsman is talking about Russia. I'd like to go over his comments and boy, all kinds of stuff. BLM headquarters, will it be coming to Utah? Well, why not? We've got the NSA spying center. Might as well just make it the, I don't know, the hub for government control here in Utah. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show. Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. The music loud, women want the thing kicked around since I was born. But now it's all right. It's okay. And you may look the other way, but we can try to understand. The New York Times of Kate Daly.
Welcome back to Kate Daly Show. You can call up 888-673-1450. You can join me. I'm talking about May Day as well. It's May 1st. What it was originally supposed to be and what it is today, far different. We'll talk about what's going on in Paris, too, in the last hour. Welcome back. And make sure you get over to DefendingUtah.org. Ben will be with me on Friday instead of today. And Ben from DefendingUtah.org, great organization, doing great journalism, really trying to help people understand the issues and get down to the truth, away from the spin that we get in Utah. And so make sure that you are visiting DefendingUtah.org and supporting them in their great efforts to do what they do. There are wonderful DVDs and all kinds of things to help you to be effective so that you can fight against some of the stuff, the very stuff that we're talking about on today's show, in fact. And so let me bring up Larry. I like Larry a lot, and I really like what Larry stands for. Larry Myers, local here to St. George. And I guess he got together with some other delegates, and they proposed a resolution asking lawmakers to repeal the hard-won hate crimes law passed earlier this year. That hate crime bill by Thatcher, it does not surprise me that Thatcher put that forth. basically punishes you for thought crime, punishes you for something you could say on Facebook. I mean, it is really detrimental and horrid. And so Senate Bill 103 is the bill I'm talking about that Daniel Thatcher pushed through. It was signed into law by Herbert earlier this week. So the resolution to be presented before the GOP convention in Orem Saturday, this Saturday, those that are going up are state delegates. You'll be voting on this, claims the new law punishes people for their personal beliefs rather than their actions. And also the resolution states that allowing government to punish people for their beliefs is dangerous to liberty and contrary to principle of equal treatment under the law. That really is the only equality afforded in our Constitution for a reason. Equality before the law. Any other equality is absolutely not equality at all. And that's the whole point. He is one of the sponsors of the resolution. He's a local St. George defense attorney. He's been on the show many times and also heavily involved in politics here. And this is what he says. And he's darn right. If I'm a conservative Republican and a Christian and I say what I believe and they punish me for something I published on Facebook, that's not right. So the point of the new law that was stressed by Thatcher, the bill that went through prior to its passing, is that offenders' bias against a certain group or person must be expressly stated in some way to leave no doubt, as it was the underlying motivation for hate crime. But just your association with a questionable group or slur is protected and wouldn't be able to be considered by the court when a hate crime's penalty enhancement's on the table, right? That's what Thatcher said. But the problem is that, and Larry brought this up so eloquently, if I have a client who commits an assault and says, I hate you, and punches the guy, that's a Class B misdemeanor. If he punches someone and says, I hate you, you Muslim, now he gets a Class A misdemeanor and it's enhanced. And he gets a greater penalty, and that's not right. And what if that is actually just a claim by somebody? That will get the catered status of the hate crime. And so an assault is an assault and should be treated the same across the board. And I completely agree. I completely agree. So in light of that, those delegates that are going to be going up to talk about that and vote on that, just making sure that you're aware that needs to happen. Larry Myers, I'm so proud of you for going up against that. That was awesome. Thank you for that. We need more. Well, we just need to keep doing this over and over again, because these horrid bills that are getting passed in Utah affect all of us. And sometimes when the legislator comes out and he says, well, this bill really won't hurt you. Yeah, I heard that, too, when we interviewed Hatch, Senator Hatch, and he said the NDAA will never hurt anyone. It's just there. It's not. It's just written. It's no big deal. It's just written in there. Well, why is it written in there? And so the language of that bill that Thatcher put through is ambiguous too, and can a lot of things can happen with an ambiguous language like that. So I'm urging people to really support this group of delegates in what they're trying to do and support a measure that counteracts that, please. This is a resolution on punishing people for their beliefs and proposed for consideration May 4th at the Utah State Republican Party. Love it. Thank you. And also this. There was a bill making its way through Texas. A state legislator would create a committee tasked with reviewing the constitutionality of federal laws, regulations, executive orders, and so forth, federal court decisions and treaties. And confirmation of unconstitutionality by the state legislator would prohibit state enforcement of the federal action in question. So the language of HB 1347 would create a joint legislative committee on constitutional enforcement. A 12-person committee would review federal actions that challenge the sovereignty of the state and of the people for the purpose of determining if the federal action is unconstitutional. A committee that says that this is infringing on the state, on the sovereignty of the state. And so although this bill is going to apply to Texas only, we're very much aware, what's being encouraged is legislators in all of the other states to now introduce bills in their states modeled after HB 1347 as if with most states, it's too late to introduce new bills this year. But we could start working on this for 2020 or 2021 sessions. And put simply, the states created the federal government, set the boundaries of power, and then reserved to themselves all other rights not specifically delegated to the new federal authority. The contract containing the rights and responsibilities of the parties to that contract that created the federal government is called the Constitution. So this element of the creation of the union is precisely where the states derive their power to negate acts of federal government that exceed its constitutional authority. And so nullification, whether through active acts passed by the legislators or simple refusal to obey unconstitutional directives, well, it's the rightful remedy for the ill of federal overreach of authority. And so it is to the end that Texas bill was proposed to put the federal beast back inside its constitutional cage. I love that. And keep it there. So I'm encouraging those listening to, just like the group just did with the hate crime bill, let's see if we can do something like what Texas just did in HB 1347 in Texas. So if you Google that, look up Texas HB 1347 and really look at what they're trying to do with this. And I absolutely agree that we don't, it's just like with the border wall, trying to convince people that states could actually do that rather than waiting on the feds. We seem to wait on the feds for everything. We put a lot of weight on Trump and we put a lot of weight on the feds. And they want us to put a lot of weight on the feds. And so I'm encouraging anyone, to get behind something like this in our state or in any state that's listening right now. And let's see if that can help with government overreach. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hi there. How are you?
To go back and talk a little bit about what you're saying with this deal on Clive and Bundy, very good way to look at this. This is how leftist socialists see the First Amendment.
Okay.
Say or do whatever you want about Clive and Bundy or Donald Trump, mm-hmm. but don't you dare talk about Bernie or Biden. Say or do whatever you want when it comes to Brett Kavanaugh, but Justin Fairfax and Keith Ellison are completely off the grid. Can't talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
Say or do whatever you want when it comes to the NRA, but Antifa care and the Black Lives Matter,
mm-hmm.
don't you dare.
No, not those terrorist groups. Can't say they're terrorists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want folks out there to think about that. You know, don't just pop and start screeching and wailing and moaning and whining, and think about that. And then, if you can, disprove me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Thank you. Thanks for that. Really appreciate it. I really appreciate that. In fact, isn't it? It's so interesting to me. It's so interesting to me how Twitter mobs can rule. Anonymous Twitter mobs. Isn't that? You've got to be kidding me. We're in a day and time when anonymous people behind a computer can voice enough that somebody's visit gets canceled from Twitter. Good grief. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'd like to talk about the shooting, the attempted murder of Lavoie and the others in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. But let me just comment on this legislation you just cited in Texas. We, of course, have to do that in Utah and everywhere else. It's the primary responsibility of our state legislators mm-hmm. is to protect us from the federal government.
Yeah.
But a point I wanted to make, I was talking to our local House rep, Sig Miller, the other day,
mm-hmm.
and he stated that there's only, when I was talking about state nullification, there's only a few others in the House that are interested in state nullification.
Right.
So the point there is we've got to get most of those people out of office and start putting people in there mm-hmm. that will stick to their oath to God, by the Constitution.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to likely happen until we start voting different people in office.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
But back to Lavoie. So we seen the tape. Many of us have three to four different times they attempted the murder everybody in that vehicle. They fired a deadly force on the vehicle. Now, what I did some vetting of William Barr when he was nominated for Attorney General. And one of the things that hasn't come out about this gun control expanding Attorney General, and also believed that we didn't have enough of Americans' rights were violated and the Patriot Bill should have gone further, is that he backed a rules of engagement for the federal government firing on Americans. And it was a new policy. They say it came out of 9/11. And it's called James Bond 007. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
You know, I have. And I don't remember what I read about it, quite honestly.
Well, when you read about it, it sounds exactly what they did with Lavoie in that vehicle. It's an ambush. They use deadly force without any cause. There's no aggression, no threat to the officers, to anybody. It's basically a new rules of engagement by the federal government to murder Americans. It's called, and it's worth looking up, James Bond 007. And ambush is actually in the description. And one of the people that made this possible in the Justice Department, this Justice Department policy, U.S. Justice Department, was William Barr, our Attorney General. And when I read it, I said, this is exactly what they did with Lavoie and the other three that were in the vehicle. They attempted to murder him, and it was a federal rules of engagement a policy they were carrying out called, like I said, James Bond 007.
Wow. Well, I sure hope local news outlets will print what actually happened. Thank you for the call. We're going to go to a break, but I sure hope they will. And I think because that narrative, the mainstream narrative, got so much coverage, it is tough. There are still a lot of people that view that whole situation so wrong. And I really, really, this is really a cause to say, look, when information finally comes out, please give it its due justice too. Please let it be heard as well. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Of course you can call. 888-673-1450. It's live, and I welcome your call. 888-673-1450. Please, by all means, give us a call. And make sure you get over to Dr. Diet. I talked about him yesterday as well. I just really firmly believe in getting some help if you're trying to lose weight and not relying on, you know, our methods of procrastination that usually pop up in that area. And so if you have some weight, sometimes it's hormonal. Sometimes it is just metabolism. How do you get that going? How do you stoke that metabolism? So make sure that you get over to Dr. Diet Wellness. They can talk about a host of issues that are affecting you and get down to the bottom of it. That way you understand and know why you're putting on extra weight. And then they can work with you to drop the weight. And I dropped it very, very quickly at Dr. Diet over a year ago. And I thank them for all that they did for me because they are that good. They also have juicing classes and all kinds of different kinds of classes, well-being classes, health classes, to help you to understand what to do and how to do it. I think that's marvelous. 628 Diet. I love those guys. All right. I'll take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. Caller, you're live.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there. Go right ahead.
On AM 540, they took down InfoWars.
Did they really?
Yeah. We're with the Ministry of Truth.
Yeah.
We've had reports of thought crime in the area, and we're just rounding up the usual suspects. Beautiful young girls for Captain Renard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks for that. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, that's, Yeah, I can see this kind of thing going in the way of podcasts. A lot of people are doing more podcasts, if you notice. Laura Ingraham, all kinds of people doing podcasts now. There's a reason. The Twitter mobs, the activists that seek to take somebody off the air, you know, you've seen it over and over again, right? And why are they successful? See, I look more at the companies that would fire people over those kinds of things because... where's their backbone and character? And people will vote with their dollars. So luckily in America, we can still do that. A couple of things. You know, I was thinking about this bathroom thing. And I was reviewing this particular article that talked about how they're trying to install all gender bathrooms. And Terry Kogan was quoted from the Utah University. He's a law professor. And he said he's one of the two or three leading scholars on public restroom law. Sorry. Wow. Now there's a career. there's a career worth having. Leading scholar on public restroom law. You didn't know, did you? Yeah, well, Terry thinks he's one of the few standouts in the country on this one. Good gravy. So he says, we're at square one with bathroom, public bathroom policies. We're at square one. And he says, hopefully over the next while, we'll be seeing more examples of all gender, multi-user restrooms. And when that happens and people begin to use them and see that they are safe places that are respectful of privacy, then the stereotype notions and prejudices will begin to collapse. Gee, Terry, thanks. And thanks for staking your whole career on a potty. So here's the deal. When I look at it, I look at it this way. At some point, liberal progressives, and I have to designate the liberal progressive because they have the strangest thinking in my view. When do you think they'll finally realize that some of their mortal enemies are a bathroom sign and a chicken restaurant? When do you think that'll happen? Because I swear to you, the headlines, the fact that we're even talking about what sign needs to go in front of the bathroom to make people feel welcome is so disturbing to me. A guy that stakes his entire career on public restroom laws, another thing that baffles my mind. And so I'm curious enough to even note that these are the things they're fighting for. And they're so ludicrous. They're so ludicrous. A chicken restaurant because they don't like that a Christian owns it, and because the mortal enemy being this restroom sign, and that they're doing something for America by ridding ourselves of the, I don't know, centuries old notion of humanity and science that says that we have two genders, because we do. Not notion, science. So, you know, science is has already nailed this, and I'm not quite sure that staking your entire career on this issue, I can't even imagine. Yes, I am the expert on urinals and potties. Come to me. I am your foremost expert. I reside at the University of Utah. Anyway, I would hope that common sense would prevail and that we would still understand that whatever part you actually have would be the place that you would go. I don't even know how we could make it this difficult, but for some reason, we truly are. We truly are. And so, yeah. Anyway, I'm just so surprised. I'm so surprised that this is where they want to hang their hat, that this is that these issues are the things that they are so mindful of. It's always shocking and surprising. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. Who knew? We'll have to ask Evan Sayed about that when he comes on Friday. He wrote the book Kindergarten of Eden, how and why modern liberals think the way they do. So it's baffling. The Night Sky Initiative. How do you feel about that? I just wanted to get kind of a sense of where you're at on that. I know it's growing, they say. I think it's still kind of a small group, but the night sky, reserving the night sky, making sure that we don't have anything competing with that. I'd love to have you weigh in on that too. 888-673-1450. I will take calls 888-673-1450. I just lost a couple of calls. Sorry about that. So you could call back. You can call and comment about anything. I'm going to be discussing in the third hour a lot about Mueller and Barr, a lot about Russia, a headline that has gone crazy that actually is inaccurate, and a little bit on Assange, a little bit on May Day, what's going on around the globe. And will Trump be seeking a second term? There's a lot of talk about that for some reason, a lot of ifs about that, kind of strange. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi
love
there.
The show.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, I live in Ivins, and we do want to preserve the night sky, because if we don't, pretty soon we're going to wind up with a black widow in the middle of one of our roundabouts. So
okay.
We're going to preserve the sky and keep that city mentality out of there.
Okay. And how many, I mean, are there quite a few now supportive? Whoops. I wish he wouldn't have hung up. Are there quite a few now supportive of this? And I know in the beginning we were laughing about it just because it was like two people and they were calling it a group. And Uncle Milty and I were kind of, you know, jesting about it a little bit. But I can understand both sides, actually. I can understand why you would want to preserve an area. I can understand why you move to a particular area and want to keep it the way it is. And so I totally understand that. And if more of you want to call in on this, I'm open. I'm open to listening. And I think the audience is, too, because I think I just want to know, you know, where this goes and what the goals and what the goals are. What does this next year look like? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Hi there.
I'm calling about the Night Sky Initiative.
Sure.
It's actually growing quite quickly. And also, it's not that you have to give up anything. It's more like you just have to preserve what's up in the sky, not necessarily what's on the ground.
Okay.
Because lighting is still fine. It's just that don't point the lighting to where it goes off into the neighbor's area or it doesn't go up into the sky.
Okay.
And the thing is, if you're throwing light up into the sky, all you're doing is wasting your you're wasting energy, and it doesn't really make you any safer. Like blotting out the stars doesn't necessarily make for safer communities.
Okay. Well, I can certainly understand that. I mean, I think most people can. I think that I think we're all in a position where we see that the cities are the city councils are growth at any cost, doesn't matter, just growth is important, and that's all they ever want to talk about. And I think a lot of people here say, well, wait a minute, there's things to preserve here, and there's reasons why people moved here, and maybe the growth sometimes isn't warranted or even wanted in some ways in on the ground is what I'm talking about. But I can certainly see that that in an area as beautiful as it is out there, that you would want to be able to see the sky, that you moved out there for a reason, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you can have some growth on the ground. You just have to be very careful with how many lights you put in and how bright.
Mm-hmm.
And just
sure.
If you have like, you can have lights, but not quite so bright, and just point them downward, and then you won't have so much the sky being blotted out.
Okay, well,
the
that
other
makes
thing
sense.
Is, though, if you have a like, if you have the ability to do this amateur science, really, like astronomy and other things from your backyard, it'll get more children interested in as they grow up. Because if you read from the 50s, some of these people that are professionals in the field, like astronomers and so on, they grew up where they could use telescopes from home, and that led to a very good career. And nowadays, if you want to introduce a child to that, you have to take them, you know, in most places you have to take them out to the you know, away from the city, so it's like an hour or two drive, and they're not interested in that sort of thing. It's hard for them to be enthusiastic when it's 2 hours and one direction.
Yeah, and if it's as easy as pointing lights, I mean, I don't see a problem with that. So I think it's great. Thank you. Appreciate that. Bringing some dialogue to this. I think a lot of people were kind of wondering what was the goal, what would you like to have happen? And as far as growth goes, that's a tough one. That is a tough one because we're getting that in our face a lot. You know, it's all about the growth and what businesses you can bring in, and everybody would like jobs and things like that. And I understand why to bring industries in. I don't like tax breaks for industries because I think that I don't like the mingling of that. I don't like the incentive of that. I think that companies will come if they want to and do just fine without those kinds of incentives using our tax dollars. And I have a host of things that we always talk about when it comes to growth. But the night sky isn't usually talked about. That's not something that comes up a whole lot, I've noticed. And so I think it's okay to make a case for that. Why not? And of course, any other subject. I know the BLM headquarters coming here has been contested, and I can see why. We are, for some reason, Utah seems to pony itself up for big government, no matter what the cause. I don't know what the problem is in Utah. You would think that we were a very conservative state. We're really not. And I don't know why we still have that mantra. We have that mantra kind of in name only. Just look at our hate crime bill. See all these things that have been going through a state that we are not a red state like we think we are. But for some reason, we like to welcome these things. Announcement's going to come by September, by the way. And Utah, of course, is in the running because why wouldn't they be? We've already brought in the NSA spying center. Of course, it's in the running. It's probably already done. So if I gauge right and we understand how government works, this decision's already been made, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if it was Utah. The other thing was this. Ambassador Huntsman was talking about U.S. and Russia and how they can work together despite, irreconcilable differences. Do we have that? I mean, sometimes these statements that are made by politicians, and I'll cover this in the third hour because I'm gonna talk about a statement made by a politician that Tucker Carlson went after and kept trying to get him to dial down and say, well, what exactly is that? Well, what exactly is that? And it was great. And I loved that he went after it because I want to know what exactly is that. When they say things like this, I want to know exactly what they're talking about. Why? Because they seem to crop up a lot in, I think in the we thought much differently about them several years ago than we do now. And was there a reason for that? Was there a reason for that? So there's a lot when it comes to Russia. Would I want to live in Russia? No. But I also want to make sure that I'm not listening to all the propaganda about Russia, too. And I want a clear sense of what Russia's about and where they're going and why. And there was an accusation made against Russia when it came to Venezuela that was incorrect, but the headline reigns, right? And so I will always work on this show to showcase these kinds of moments where things that are said that are untrue. Yet, would I want to live in Russia? Do I trust Russia completely? No, actually, I don't. And so I'm just trying to say that when I see these things, I will honestly try to go after them on the show and say, this is exactly what was said and what wasn't said. I think that's fair because we're given so much propaganda and it is so difficult to understand. It is hard. I spend hours and hours. So be right back on the National Show with Melissa. We'll talk about coercing the innocent. And we'll talk about that, all kinds of things coming up in the last hour as well. So hang with us.